Hello, everyone. Welcome. Today is Tuesday, April 16th, 2024. I am Salad Blue Sister, and this is My Turn to Talk. Welcome back, welcome back. Hope everyone's having a wonderful day. It's been a busy moment here for me, but a wonderful day. And as always, whatever platform you're listening, be it live or the replay, thank you. Much appreciated. Hey, Frankie, how are you? Blunt Ninja, how are you, girl? Brina, hello. I don't have a new outro song today, so I will be picking one from something I already played. I didn't have time to pick one today. So, what it will be. Not sure. Okay, let's get started. Trying to see if I stopped the music or not. Oh, no, I didn't. There we go. Okay. So I kind of changed the topic today. But today I want to talk about surrogates and, should they be able to change their mind. Hey, Minnesota. Hey, Mr. B, how are you? Hello. You know, should a surrogate be able to change their mind and keep the baby? Especially if the sperm donor was the husband of the couple of, or the wife. So it's partly his baby also. So should they be able to change their mind? Should they be able, you know, if a couple has paid for, you know, the housing, the healthcare, you know, whatever, everything leading up to the birth of this baby, should a surrogate be able to change their mind? You know, and yes, contracts are signed, and yes, you know, I don't know, you know, how it is from state to state, but by law, you know, they have a right. They have so many days that they can change their mind. And if they do, do you, the couple, have a right to go and sue? And then Blunt says they should be bound by contract to give the baby to the intended parents. Brina says if a surrogate changes their mind, that's got to be real emotional for the couple. There's also time loss. Okay, so you can look at it at you can look at it two ways, because there's two sides to the story. You have the story of the couple, and you have the story of the surrogate. Some couples, you know, well, I'm not going to say some. I would assume all of them are highly invested in this baby, not just financially, but on the emotional level. On the surrogate side, and some have done this over and over, what if they just, you know, I just really want this baby. I really want this baby. And let's say the surrogate could be a teen. You know, do you take that teen to court and say, well, you know, I'm going to be able to provide for that baby more than a teen would? And let's say their parents, the teen's parents, step up to help. Should money and wealth, you know, trump someone who doesn't have that much to offer in terms of finances, but they have a house full of love? You know, back in the 20s and 30s, there was that big, you know, thing going on with that woman. Her name is going to come to my mind, where for 30 years she was going around to poor families telling them that they should give up their children because they could not support them and they were poor, and what did they have to offer? And you had a lot of movie stars, quote unquote, back then, who were adopting children who were adopted illegally from this woman. You know, so let's see. Blunt says, if it's my egg and my partner's sperm, the baby is mine. Sorry, I take them to court. Absolutely. Brina said, the surrogate should understand the risk. I know it can be emotional for them as well, but they agree to it. Okay, but what if it's not your egg, but it's your husband's sperm or your partner's sperm? Do they have a right to change their mind? And if it is your egg and your husband's sperm, should the surrogate basically be told you're an incubator for 10 months? I'm sorry, I don't think you're pregnant for 9 months. I think you're pregnant for 10. That you're just this incubator that is taking care of this fetus for 9.5, 10 months. And then you have to turn this baby over to me. Hello, Adam. Welcome. You know, let's see. Blunt says, even donor sperm, if I pay for you to carry a child for me, you're in contract with me. Blunt says, I heard a horror story of a surrogate getting child support for the baby after breaking the contract. Now, see, you know, and that, you know, and that brings up something too. So does that mean that if the surrogate breaks the contract, then, you know, should my husband or my partner have to pay child support for this child? Does that mean that if you go to a sperm bank and you pick out sperm AF294 and get pregnant, and all of a sudden you fall on hard times, do you have the right to go back and sue the sperm bank for the name of the donor? Or let's just say you just happen to find out who provided that donor sperm, and then you can go back and sue for child support when you knew that when you went to that sperm bank, that you are, you know, they're hopefully providing a child for you, and that's it. And that's it. Does that, you know, I mean, there's just so much involved. You know, it's like when couples go to a surrogate, are they doing it because they're desperate? And that's the last, you know, this is the only way that we're going to have this baby, as opposed to just going and adopting, which comes with a whole lot of other emotional things that you have to deal with. Are they just so desperate that they don't look at everything that could possibly happen? Just because things are in a contract doesn't necessarily mean that everyone's going to follow through. You can sign a lease with someone and the landlord could try to break the lease. You can get offered a job and the person can say, you know, we changed our mind. We decided not to fill this spot. Or the, you know, place goes out of business, or they say, you know what, we're moving across town. And you're not able to get across town. You know, I mean, just so many things. When you decide to go to a surrogate, are both parties really understanding, truly understanding what is involved? Once this baby is born, you go your separate ways. Okay, so see, Blunt says the law says yes, apparently. Okay. Not to a sperm bank, though. Okay. So tragically true. I mean, and that is tragic. But does that child have the right? When that child is over, is older, and they, you know, find out, you know, the circumstances of their birth, do they have a right to want to know who carried them? Do they have a right to know who the person was who carried them full term? Whether it was your egg and your husband's sperm or not, does your child have the right to know the story of their birth? Blunt says, I had a friend who offered to be a surrogate for me. However, she made the comment of my baby will be siblings with hers. I decline. Interesting. Can I ask why? Because I'm thinking about that and I'm like, yeah, I guess that would kind of be true. Brenda says, I don't think knowing is necessary. It would be different if that child needed to know medical history. Okay, but Brenda, what if for whatever reason your child found out? They found out when they were 10, 20, when they were 40, they found out. And they ask you, why didn't you tell them? You said, well, I don't think it was necessary. But for a child, knowing, I mean, that's part of who they are. That's part of how they got here. So what do you, I mean, you don't think a child has a right to know? And that's when I say, when you look at the whole, because somewhere along the line, somebody in the family is going to blurt out something. Aunt Flo is going to say something. Uncle Joe is going to say something. You know, Cousin Sam's going to say something. Somebody's going to say something where you're going to find out you're adopted. You were, you know, someone who came from a sperm bank or whatever. Okay, Brandon says, I think some people would be mad at not knowing, and some wouldn't care. Personally, I would consider an interesting story, but I wouldn't be mad. Okay, you would consider it an interesting story. Would you want to know, would you want to know if you came from a sperm bank? I mean, let's say, you know, let me change that. Should a child have the right to know that they came from a sperm donor, that their father is just a number in a file. I mean, does that matter? I mean, because I think that a child has a right to know where they came from, be it a surrogate. You know, or a sperm donor. At the same time, does a sperm donor have the right to, you know, you're asking for my sperm, and now I want to know who my child is, who my children are, because you probably have more than one. Okay, then Brina says, yeah, I would want to know if I came from a sperm donor. Okay, now, okay, if I was adopted, that's different. That would be a matter of medical history. I want to know, Blunt says. So is a surrogate and a sperm donor, I mean, I know they're different, but at the same time, it's that, why would you not want to tell a child that a surrogate was responsible for their birth? What is so bad about telling? I mean, is it harmful? I mean, why wouldn't you want your son or daughter to know, especially if the egg was yours and the sperm was your partner's? I mean, does that really matter? Okay, Blonde says, I share that with my child. Minnesota says, lots of things to think about. There are a lot of things to think about. Absolutely. There are absolutely a lot of things to think about when you make the decisions like that. I mean, that is a life-changing decision. And as much as you want to keep it a secret, somebody in the family is going to say something, and somewhere along the way, your child is going to find out. You are going to find out. You know, and at the same time, I mean, Blunt, when you said that you decline, when you think about it, what would happen if a family knew that their mom was a surrogate and your mom has this child that they handed over to another couple? And even though they may not be related in a biological way, let's say that those children, you know, think that your child is their sibling. And one day they say something. What do you do? You know, what if your surrogate does change their mind and they say, you know what, I want to have this baby because I do want my baby to grow up with other children. I want them to grow up in my family with their siblings, you know, with things like that. I mean, what do you do? Okay, Blunt says it would be too emotionally complicated. That's why I couldn't put myself in that situation. Okay. But is it still emotionally, I mean, is there an emotional side when you adopt a child and then they find out years later that they have a sibling living in London? Or, you know, Juju, hey, welcome, Power Girl, didn't see you pop in. Welcome. If you are that adopted person, and then you find out later on that all of a sudden you have these brothers and sisters, isn't that an emotional thing too? Isn't it still, well, why didn't you tell me? I mean, some people go through their entire lives not knowing that they're adopted. Hey, shy lady. You know, so is that fair, especially if they have other brothers and sisters that may be out there? I mean, is it fair to keep that child in the dark? And what if a surrogate, I mean, what if a surrogate does go through with the contract? And I'm pretty sure that in the contract, I don't know this for sure, but I'm just assuming that there is a clause that says, you know, you have no contact with this child, whatever. But let's say surrogate becomes stalker chick, you know, and she's this woman who's stalking, you know, or, you know, one day she's not, you know, she's just going about her own business and your kids happen to go to the same school and she knows that that's the child that she gave birth to. And she says something. And she blurts and your child finds out, yes, you can take the surrogate to court and you can sue and everything, but your child still finds out the circumstances of their birth. So I guess my question is it a good idea to keep things from children in that situation? Is it a good thing to, like, if your child, one of your child's parents was a serial killer, or they were in prison, or they were just a really, really bad person. Hey, GP, welcome. You know, if their mother or father were a really bad person, do you keep that from them instead of just telling them? Because again, sooner or later, your child's going to find out. And will they be more upset at the biological side of it? Or will they be more upset with you that you didn't tell them? And I'm not saying they're 5 or 6 or 10 years old. I'm saying they're an adult and you still did not tell them who their parent was. Because a lot of people want to use the term, I'm trying to protect you. Are you trying to protect them? Or are you trying to protect yourself? So there's a lot to think about. So I do go back and ask you, should surrogates be legal? Should it be legal for a woman to carry a child for a couple that cannot have children? Should it be legal for sperm donors and sperm banks or whatever to exist? Because then we go down the road of what we're going through now in this country, you know, about whether or not, you know, you should be able to do certain things when it comes to having a child. You know, should the in vitro thing, should people be able to do that? I mean, we had this conversation one day sometime last year, and somebody on this platform, you know, I have made it open that I went through in vitro with my son, and someone on this panel said that they thought that was a sin. I was like, okay. I mean, I didn't get upset. You know, that's what they think. That's what they think. But should the surrogates, I mean, should it be legal? And not because of the fact that they're carrying this child, but because they could change their mind down the road. And then it gets into, you took our money, but the baby's mine, but this and this and this. What do you do? You know, it's a lot to think about. It's a lot to think about. People say, you know, I want to have my own child. You know, there's just so many things to think about when you go the route to decide to have a child. What do you do? If you're in the situation of having to decide what to do, if you're not able to have it, you know, the physical way, you know, whatever, and you need help, those conversations are hard. I mean, I went through that, the conversations I had them. Very few people knew. Very, very, very few people knew. And it wasn't so much that I personally did not want to share, is that I didn't want to hear some of the comments, even some of the well-meaning ones. I just didn't want to hear it. If it happened, it happened. If it didn't, it didn't. And no one would know either way. And Blunt says, yes, and it should be covered by health insurance since the normal functioning of my reproductive system. But old white men trapped in the 1800s are the ones making choices for us. Yeah. You know, but again, and the second part to my question today was, should laws require children to be told who their biological parents are in case of an emergency? So whether that surrogate, whether that egg came from you, or if it's the surrogate's egg and your partner's sperm, or whether, you know, it's adoption or a sperm donor, sperm bank, whatever, however you want to call it. At the end of the day, to me, it's about the child. And we can say all we want to, how much we want to protect, you know, I just want to protect you and I want to protect them and da 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 da. But at the end of the day, I think whether it's a biological thing or not, that child has a right to know where they came from. They have a right to know who carried them. You know, if your child were to ask, you know, what was it like? You know, did you have morning sickness with me? I mean, to me, you should not make stories up like that. Because like I said, somewhere along the way, somebody in the family is going to say something. Then they're going to look at you. Why did you lie to me? Why didn't you tell me? Well, we were waiting. What are you waiting for? I'm 25. What are you waiting for? And Blunt says, I think being honest is the best. So should a surrogate, so even though, like I said, I'm not sure how it is in all states, but should a surrogate, even though they have a gag order, so to speak, should a surrogate be able to meet their birth child if the child wants to meet them? What if the child wants to meet the surrogate? Do you think a parent should tell them no? You know, and at the same time, hello, Star. How are you? Let's see. Star says, interesting question. Did you mention the sperm donor has automatic rights the spouse has to apply to adopt, I believe? Now, see, that's where I say it depends upon the state. It depends upon the state. Yeah, blunt. Yeah. Let's see. Star says that's already. That's why I can never be a surrogate. I'm attached. I'm attached already. Oh boy. And she says I worked with a girl who donated an egg to her older sister, and it was a hot mess. The coworker threw major depression watching her child as her niece. Sheesh. Good Lord. I got to put this one up here on the screen. Wow. And GP says, many tough questions. Yes, I mean, you have to think of these things. Now, I have to go back to donating her egg to her older sister. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. I'd rather my sister go to a sperm bank. Hey, crazy lady, welcome. You know, then let's talk about this other thing. The sperm donor has automatic rights. The spouse has to apply to adopt. And I'm looking that up right now. And it is true that a sperm donor does have rights to, hey, Nightingale, welcome. The sperm donor does have rights to apply to adopt that child. Jeebe says, just get, all right, so let's talk about what Jeebe says, just get pregnant by some random dude at Applebee's. I mean, and Blunt's like, oh, hell no. But I mean, but Blunt, when you think about it, okay, and I'm going through one of those variables, you know, think about it. Hey, shorty, is it, I'm sorry, I'm over here laughing at what Star is saying over here on YouTube. I think she's laughing at what GP said. Is it best just to get pregnant by some random guy and then, you know, what if the problem is not you, but it's your spouse or your partner? So is it better just to have a one night stand with someone, get pregnant, hope you get pregnant, and then you don't have to worry about all the contracts and all the laws and somebody coming after you, whatever, but you still have a child that's going to grow up who should still know who their father is? Or what if there's that medical, you know, issue and you find out that, you know, okay, the blood is not matching, and then the kids, you know, the kid needs to know who their father is. What do you do? GB says, make sure. Oh boy, GP. Seriously, GP says, make sure the guy has more tattoos than teeth. You know, so I mean, I don't know, y'all. I just think that you have to really think about you have to really think when you're going down the road of conception if it's not the quote unquote normal way. You know, and I'm gonna change lanes here for a moment. Now we remember the story. Well, some of you all may or may not. This happened about 20 years ago, when I do believe it was Florida. Shorty, y'all got a lot of stuff going down there in Florida. Just a lot of Florida's a hot mess. But anyway, you have well, I'm sorry, Shorty, but it's true. It's true. So you have the story of the mother and father who had a baby to help their other daughter, who was like 10 or so, because they needed the bone marrow. Should that be legal? Should it be legal for you to have a baby to have that baby get old enough to pass the bone marrow on to a sibling? And had that sibling not been sick, you never would have had this baby in the first place. Yeah, not Nightingale, Florida is crazy. You know, should they be able to do that? I mean, people have children for different reasons. Okay, Knighton said, let's see, Blunt says, I feel like you're having a child for spare parts. And then Nightingale says, tell me everything. When you say tell me everything, are you talking about what are you talking about? I'm sorry, Nightingale. What are you talking about? And yeah, Blunt, I mean, it is like you're having a child for spare parts. Okay, so I gave you my marrow. Are you going to want part of my lung? Are you going to want my kidney for somebody else? Are you going to want this? I mean, is that fair? And how is that child going to feel when they get older to know that, you know, that they were birthed for spare parts? And I like that term, spare parts. And Anthony says, that's wrong. It is. It is. But people do it. Nightingale says, yes, all of it. This child spare parts is in Florida. Oh, Shorty. It's a state you live in. I knew she was going to come up here. Hey, Shorty.
Hey, Sally, y'all. Look. We all know Florida is bipolar, okay? I say it all the time. You know what I mean? Florida's bipolar because of the weather. It is bipolar over here, too, with the people, okay? It is a little crazy, and you know what I mean? But you got to love it, though. You know what I mean?
Do we have to love it?
Love you, Nightingale. No, you don't have to love it, but eventually you do. You know what I mean? Eventually you do.
Okay. I'm going to respond to that.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. But put yourself on mute, and I'm going to respond. Because you got your background noise going there. Okay. All right. So eventually you have to love it. Shorty. No, we don't. See, you come from the land of the crazy people. you come from the land of the knuckleheads. You come from the land of we just gonna make a law and then that's what it what, that's what what it's going to be.
Look, that ain't my fault. It ain't my fault.
Okay. And Nightingale says, Florida seems to want to put a law on anything and everything. So, my question is, Shorty.
Yes, ma'am.
Or Nightingale, welcome. Thank you for coming up and thank you for following me. I appreciate it.
I absolutely adore you, Solid. Hi, nice to see you.
Nice to see you too. So, I mean, what if, I mean, states are going state by state doing this stuff. Should there be a law that being a surrogate is illegal? Should there be a law that being a sperm donor is illegal? That I mean, are we one day going to get to the part where adopting children is illegal unless the government tells you what child to adopt, who to adopt, and where that child should go?
Well, of course, I hope everybody that's listening sees that America is going backwards with all of their laws. Women's suffrage was only fought for and beaten in the 1920s. You're talking about affirmative action, things like that we fought for, that we put into laws, now are getting reversed, and our bodies being under, I just don't get the government wanting to be in everybody's sperm and everybody's coochie and everybody's uterus and everybody's, I just didn't understand that was, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't understand that was like things that they get dressed in the morning and they get their suits on and then they go in legislation, and we're really talking about so much sexual laws against sexual. It's just almost like that's what it is, because we have a real problem in America with religion and the politics of religion creating the politics of the laws. So then you get a moral compass of people that are religious that have put into place things that say, well, we can't have you killing babies, but you have guns that kill babies. Well, you can't have it. There's always a hypocrisy with the American government. So yeah, we're going backwards. There's laws that tell me I can and can't have sex, and dig in the men for a minute. Why don't we start with the men? Because I wouldn't feel like I would have to worry about anything pregnancy if there wasn't men trying to spray me constantly with ejaculated sperm from their penis. So I would be fine. So we can start with the men, do something with them. Why is it start with us? Start with them, because I wouldn't get pregnant if somebody wouldn't spray me with something that got me pregnant.
Okay, so let's go to what GP says when he says, just, you know, have a kid from somebody from, what restaurant was it? Applebee's.
So you're talking about one night stand. Okay, so I'm feeling sexually aroused and I see the waiter and we wait and we go in the parking lot and we do what people do. We fornicate, and then the next day I don't know him and I don't want to know him, or he doesn't want to know me, but now I'm impregnated. I should be able to, as a woman, decide what's going on in my body. Okay, I'm impregnated. So what do I do? Do I have the baby and go about my life? Do I go and abort the baby? All of that is things that I would think go on in my own head first. I wouldn't think that now, once I'm impregnated, I have to go and now make it a government thing. The government thing is when I want to do something with my driver's license or if I want to go vote. I don't think sexuality is directly related to government.
Okay, but again, should, to avoid the surrogate, I'm trying to kind of get back here, to avoid the surrogate issue, to avoid the I changed my mind thing, to avoid the someone's going to come see me in court in 2 years or something. Should I just get knocked up by some guy I don't know, have that one night stand, or it maybe it's somebody that I do know, but I just never tell them, whatever. And I have this baby with my husband. or my partner, whatever, or by myself. And that's it. I eliminate all the issues, all the paperwork goes away. But your child still has the right to know who their father is.
Yes. And I'm right there with you on that, because think about it, pre-paperwork. Everybody, all the government stuff, it's all paperwork. Pre-paperwork, all the animals. I would like to see every lion, tiger, and bear and cat, every time they went and had a kid, had a litter, and we got to document every... That's what got crazy. It's the census and the government trying to keep up with all of the people and the taxes and the babies. Look, we're going backwards. I'm telling you, we're going backwards. They're putting laws on women to where we're not going to be able to decide. We're going to be Handmaid's Tale.
Okay, wait. Hold on, hold on. I got to respond here to what GP said. GP, come on now. Let's be fair here. GP says, yet the government provides for countless loser moms.
Wait.
Countless loser moms, I almost missed that comment. When you say countless loser moms, GP, what loser moms are you referring to? Because do those loser moms that you're talking about have a backstory? I mean,
Shorty, you better get down on this.
Are they single moms? Are they just moms that are just bad moms? I mean, the government provides for a lot of people,
they show
women and mothers always seem to be the ones that are censored when it comes to comments like that. So
I want to know.
I'm going to ask you.
I want to know. Am I a loser mom?
Okay, so when you say both, I mean, GP, when you say both, what do you mean?
See, we didn't all went
silent. See, because single, you know, I don't know. I just have an issue with, you know, I have an issue with people who come down on single parents, you know, especially single moms. I am not a single parent. I never have been. I did not grow up with a single parent. But I do know single parents who have done wonderful jobs.
My mom
with their
was a
children,
single
both
mom. And look how I grew up to be. I'm a single. I have kids and I'm on welfare. So does that make me a loser? Because I get Social Security or I get food stamps or WIC. Does that make me a loser, mom? I want to know. Because this kind of touched my nerve a little bit. And my mom was a single mom. And she tried to do the damn best that she could to raise her kids, knowing she had to work like a damn dog, trying to sit up here and clean these people goddamn hotels, and she ain't had no goddamn time off, but she still did what she did. But she still had a little bit of government help, just a little bit. Is she the loser mom?
And those are the programs that they are taking away right now. They're taking all of those programs away, and it's gonna affect people like Shorty. It's going to affect people deeper than you would think. Those programs were set for the government to balance out the equality of what America was built on. America was not built on the freedom of women. It wasn't built on the freedom of ethnic people. So throughout its history, it tried and continues to try to build that through government programs, through things like the welfare system. Yes, you have a pocket of a few people that take advantage of every system, no matter what it is, but the inequalities within the system have not helped anyone. So now that they've gotten to a point where they haven't helped anyone, and people are complaining and saying, well, geez, they haven't helped us. They haven't helped us. It hasn't helped us. So instead of saying, well, okay, as a government, we're going to help you, they'll take it away. And then we have to start all the way back from the beginning to where civil rights, we were in the streets protesting for women. We have to go all the way back to the beginning to where it was 19, whatever, where we really had signs. And why are we still having to fight for those rights? Rights for women to just be able to have sex with whoever they want should just that way.
But Nightingale, I'm sorry, and I don't mean to bemoan this. Hey, Ace. Hey, son. Welcome. I GP, I'm sorry, but do you, and I'm just asking this, do you consider loser moms just single parents, or are there such thing as loser dads? Is there such thing as a loser dad? Is there such thing? Because there are fathers out there that are not just that, who may not be single dads, but they are losers. They may not come home at night. They may stay out with their friends drinking, you know, whatever. You know, is there such thing as a loser dad that the government is providing for?
Thank you.
You know, because you know, and I know we got off topic, you know, whatever, but I just think that, you know, again, there are people out, there are bad parents. There are bad parents who are married, both male and female, and there are bad parents who are single, both male and female. That the government provides for.
Yes, thank you.
And the government has, we're going way off topic here. The government has made it so a lot of these things are in place where you're able to call people losers. A lot of this stuff was all by design.
Yes, girl.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Know, so, you know, once again, you know, you have to, again, you have to look at the whole, you have to look at everything. You know, how did that person become that so-called loser that you're talking about? What is their backstory? What, you know, are you going to have more loser moms who were raped or had incest because the government forced them to have this baby instead of allowing them to get an abortion? But then you have those people who don't believe in abortion. I am one of them, but I'm not going to shame you if you do. And I do believe that people should be able to have abortions if it's incest or rape, should they choose to. Welcome, Crazy and Fair.
But they're Ace, taking that too. Welcome. They're taking it all. They're taking it all. They're just taking it.
They're taking Ace, I'm, okay, choices. Wait. Now, yeah, let Ace pop in. Ace,
hello, everybody. I understand that it kind of strayed from the original topic. However, just from the little bit that I walked in on, I want to remind everybody that it is a very dangerous thing to look at a group of people and lump them all as one, because we are all individuals and we all have our own stories. While I understand that some people's perception is the concept that a single mother is abusing the system or whatever the case may be, you don't know that woman's story. And people look at me and wonder why I have the two children I have and don't even know the story. And some of you all in here do know that my children were not my choice. That choice was taken away from me. So when you're talking about things that you already know is a very sensitive subject and is one of those with the conversations that nobody likes to have, because Solid loves to do those conversations because people don't want to have them. They get uncomfortable. You got to remember the way you word things and who your audience is, because if you say things that are eventually going to immediately shut someone down, they will never listen to your point of view. So even from a comments perspective, be careful what you say. Even if you don't mean it the way it may be perceived, you got to think about who the listener is.
Well said.
That was beautiful. And it's true. People are very sensitive about their lives, and we all have to, we're all in the same boat as people. And that is different from decisions made by the government. I mean,
it's okay, just wait. Nightingale, I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you. And GP, you said I'm for abortion, but also 99% of abortions are based on convenience in the U.S. 99%, GP, that is a very high number. So you're saying only 1% of abortions are necessary in terms of medical or something? So you're saying that 99% of people who get abortions in the U.S. are using it as birth control?
How can you say that, though? Like, really, how can you say that? Like, things happen in, like, because you're not a female. You understand what I'm saying? You a male. You don't really understand what us females have to go through in our day-to-day lives. If somebody get raped or this, that, and they don't want to end up pregnant. They didn't want to end up in that situation. You understand what I'm saying? And then for you to say that, like you really hitting on my nerves today, and you really don't do that, like...
Okay. Star over on YouTube says, what isn't recognized is that once things get taken away, it will take heaven and hell to put things halfway back. So these young people, rappers, etc., that think 4 more years won't hurt, don't. Ha. I guess I hit a nerve to today in this topic. You know, kind of went sideways, but people come from all walks of life, and I've said it over and over. Everybody sees life through a different lens. Everyone lives their life through a different lens. There are times when people say things where I just keep my mouth shut because I have no clue. I don't know. The only thing I could do is sit back and listen. Shy lady, welcome.
Hi. Hello, everyone. Hope everyone is doing well this wonderful, was it Tuesday?
Tuesday.
I just want to say I am enjoying the conversation, listening. I've been listening a lot. And my only comment is to find out if there was any... research based on, I believe, what GP said about the percentage of abortions. So I did find an article while you guys were discussing back and forth. And according to the USA Today article in 2019, it said that 1% of abortions were rape, and even less, 0.5%, 0.05% were incestual. So GP may have a good point. So, and I do want to say that I agree.
Okay, wait, hold on. I'm going to interrupt you. A good point in so is it an assumption that 99% are for convenience? Because don't forget that in between that 1% and what have you, you still have medical issues. You still have people who go through things where abortions are needed. So
I want to say this. I do want to say this. I don't believe in abortions, but I'm going to tell you this. You know my age, and y'all put it this way. I was born in the 60s, and I really don't believe in abortion, and I don't believe in it for several reasons, because I've been in this world a long time, and I've gone through elementary school, junior high school, and I've gone through college, and I've lived in a young adult life. And I will tell you this. I have friends. I have cousins. I have people I went to college with. in freshman and sophomore years, and I could tell you at least 15 people that I know of that have had abortions because they messed up during sex. I have one friend that I knew from college, sadly to say, she had 4 abortions before we graduated. Seriously. And that was all because of her irresponsibility, her irresponsibleness, and dating guys that she knew she didn't want to be with. And she wasn't using birth control. So I can tell you from people I personally know, at least 15 people. I got a cousin that had 5 abortions before she was 30.
But is it fair to still automatically assume that?
It's not fair to assume anything. I'm telling you about what I know.
Hold on. All right.
I'm just saying they put USA Today didn't break down their variables. And I don't know who the people were or the number of the participants that they took for the survey. But I'm just speaking off of, I don't know what the variables were. All I'm saying is that in my own personal life, I know of 15 women.
But I understand what you're saying, but still to throw out a number like 99%, that's a big percentage.
Well, maybe that's the number he read in the USA Today. I don't know, but I know that I read in the USA Today article that 1%, whatever, I don't know, like
okay,
I said.
I don't know. I understand. Okay, and again, that 1%, I understand you're saying 1% is rape and another is incest. But right. Again, you still have a percentage of people that still have to go through medical, whatever, but still.
Hold on,
because you're coming on kind of strong here. So
I'm just talking about personal experience. I ain't talking about the 99% I'm talking about 15 people I personally know.
Okay, I understand that. I understand that. I also know people who have also had them because they were not responsible during sex. But at the same time, it's like, is it the woman who still gets deemed, because shouldn't the responsibility have been with her partner? So it is still women, you know, so to make a comment that loser moms and, you know, whatever, but
I don't agree with that. I don't know what that's about.
But one thing that Star says is, she says, perhaps you don't understand the cost of condoms is maybe $10, birth control pills with insurance, $25 to $45, abortions probably $1,500, $2,000. The math isn't mathing. So Star, I need you to clarify that a little bit when you say the math isn't mathing, because you also say, GP, that makes no sense to use abortion as birth control. So I'm trying to understand exactly what you're saying here. But people do use abortion as birth control. Thank you, Ace, for popping in. People do use abortion as birth control. That we all know. 99%, I think that's a high number. And Charlotte, you said that the article that you read, that USA Today did not break down the numbers. The only thing they said was the 1%, you know, whatever. Right. But at the same time, 99% is still a very high number. And I would just like to know where that 99% came from. You know, because people, I mean, this is a touchy, this subject is touchy. It is a volatile subject for some people, and some people really get into their emotions with it. But again, these are things that we need to talk about, but we need to be able to talk about them in a way where we can have the discussion. But unfortunately, the discussion will always make some people, it'll touch that nerve. It'll be a trigger for some people. And again, we all have to realize everybody, you know, again, we all come from different walks of life. We see things differently. Fair says, I don't agree with saying abortion is used as convenience. Regardless of percentage points, I highly doubt there is any convenience whatsoever for a woman to go through an abortion. If I had to use convenience, I'll say Plan B is a convenient option over abortion. Regardless, it isn't my say what Betty and Susan to do with their bodies. You okay, Shorty?
And I love that statement by the fair use, because that again goes on to who is it, anybody, to say what a woman is doing with her body? Like, it's really strange to me that that's such a big governmental topic when we have things of the people need, you know, we have things, poverty, homelessness, all these things, but with the government, it's so stuck on sexuality, and America's so stuck on sexuality. It's just, I've got to pick up my kids. That's what bugs me. Whether or not I have a problem with the establishment, it's not about percentages or whatever. I just am a very organic person that doesn't like the government in people's bodies. It weirds me out. So I love you.
Okay.
Love you, shy lady. Love everybody.
Thank you, Nightingale.
I don't get it. I literally think there's so much hate because nobody can figure out anything. Just stop trying to figure it out. Poop, pee, have sex with who you want, find food, grow it, whatever we're doing, we're just being crazy. The whole planet, we're blowing stuff up, we're being nuts. Knock it off. Everybody listen to Nightingale, everybody sing my song, and I'm gonna go pick up my kids. So
all right, thank you, Nightingale.
Bye. I'll be back. You. Solid, love you.
All right.
Beautiful. Bye.
All right, so Star did break it down. She did explain what she meant. She said sheer cost alone would be preventative for many people who don't have the money to have an oops abortion. So she's saying that the cost alone would prevent people from having an oops abortion. And considering that Planned Parenthoods are basically closed and you don't see them much anymore, then that right there, you know, when you look at who's having these abortions, they're not, you know, the quote unquote poor people who are having them. They're not the ones who can afford at this point to go across state state lines. And Crazy says, I don't agree with using it as birth control, but it also is better than some don't have the babies, is my only opinion. So Crazy, are you saying that sometimes it's better to have the abortion as opposed to having a baby that you're going to throw away and abuse? Is that what you're saying? I just want to be clear. Okay, so she's saying yes, because all names get adopted. That's true. You know, so again, I know this, you know, was a subject that touched the nerve, and we did, you know, we did veer off topic. We did veer off topic, but as I said, guys, this is a place where, you know, I do have these topics that they can get dicey sometimes, but as long as everybody can keep, you know, try to keep it. Uh, keep it. In a discussion type way, you know, whatever. And I, again, people get all in into their emotions and whatever, but I just don't think that the majority of people use abortion as birth control. You know, I think that those people who have had the 5 abortions, the seven abortions or their career abortion people. I think people like that should have their tubes tied. And that may be very like, what? But then again, I think that if you're a man who's going around getting these women knocked up and you're not taking responsibility, you should get snip, snip, snip. Because it's always the woman who gets labeled the slut, the hoe, the loser mom. It's always them. It's always the woman. And then when that woman has to go out, not even because she didn't want the baby, maybe let's say she wanted the baby and she's trying to do right by that child, but she has to go out and get a job. Then all of a sudden, you know, she's working all these different jobs, and all of a sudden she finds herself as a stripper, you know, because that makes more money for her to pay the rent and something. All of a sudden she's, oh my God, you're a loser, because look at what she's doing. But what is the man doing? Where's the father? Is the father the loser because he left? Because he's out of the picture? What about him? So as Crazy would say, there's a lot of variables, a lot. But the one who comes out in the end, who gets hurt out of all of it is the child. So whether you're a surrogate, whether you're a donor, whether you're that guy from Applebee's that GP was talking about, whatever, it's always the child that ends up the loser. If I can put it like that. So anyway, y'all. Okay. Star wants to know, Solid, who is having these abortions? I guess some of everybody. And let's be clear about one thing, too. Abortions, people who have abortions, it's not just white, it's not just black, it's just not Latino or Asian, it's not rich or poor. People who have abortions come from all walks of life. All walks. You have rich parents who don't want their rich child to have this baby because they're supposed to grow up to be this congressman, or they're being groomed to be a senator. You can't have a baby. Or you have this not so well-off family who says you can't have this baby because you can't afford it and we can't afford it either. So abortion is not selective. It's not selective in terms of who is having them. But abortions do cost money. And like I said, with Planned Parenthood having closed down in a lot of places, who's actually having the abortions? So, nobody's up here for last word. Anybody want to give me a last word? GP says, I saved a bunch of money on my child support by switching to condoms. Well, And Star says the government cares about the unborn, won't feed, house, or clothe them after they're born. This is true. They care about the unborn, but when they're here, they become losers. They become a drain on the system. I don't know. Anybody want to give a last word? Anybody? Nobody's up here for my last word. Okay. So I guess I gave my own last word. Anyway, y'all, as always, thank you. I don't have a outro song that I was going to do because I was just so busy this morning, but I am going to I'm gonna leave us with Marvin Gaye. Marvin Gaye, Save the Children. I have that one in here.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? To save a world in despair? Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time
when the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No, bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world?
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
It fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
We can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live. Live.
Live for life. Life.
But let live, everybody.
Live life. For the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
You see, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to live, but who really cares? Who's willing to try? Yeah, to save our world. Yeah, save our sweet world. Save a world that is destined
Okay. Crazy, did you want to say something? Oh, okay. All right. Okay, so y'all, anyway, thank you for coming. Thank you for your comments. I apologize if some people got triggered. But again, these are conversations that we have to have. And you know my show, we are going to continue to have them. So on that note, I will be back tomorrow. And enjoy your day or weekend. Or day, I'm sorry, your day or evening. Not the weekend yet. Your day or evening, wherever you are. Bye.